Come on, because he is who he said he is. He can do what he said he can do. He's the only one, watch this, he's the only one that can change somebody in an instant from being one way to being a different way. That's the name of Jesus, right? I was lost, but now I'm found, right? I mean, come on, I was once in bondage, but now I'm free. Hallelujah, glory to God. Come on, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to speak on a subject that I've spoke on many times, but you can never get enough, right? In fact, Josh and I were talking on the way over today, and he read what I was speaking on. He said, you speak on that every year. I said, well, probably more than once a year, but that's good. How many know you need to hear something over and over and over and over and over? If you've raised kids, you know they need to hear it over and over and over and over. And we're not any different. Glory to God. I want to talk to you about renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. And we're going to talk out of the Word of God. But look at Romans chapter 12. And we'll start there. And then we'll go through some definitions. But you really need to get a hold of this tonight. There's a foundational thing here that is so important. You know that change doesn't come until you change, and you'll never change unless your thought process changes. And so we have to be in line with what the Word of God says in order for our lives to live up to His potential. You know that God is the one who created you, and He created each one of us for a different purpose. We're wired differently, But we're all wired to operate in a certain way, and it's connected to Him. Verse 1 says of chapter 12 of Romans says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I like that He's talking to me. You talking to me? He's talking to me, right? He's talking to us. This includes sistering, by the way. But anyway, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's some things here. I don't want to go long into this verse, but the reality is that you have to present your body. And that we're three-part beings. And I've said it this way, and I'm not going to go far into that tonight, but we are a spirit. We have a spirit part of our who we are. And that's the real us. That's the inside person. We have a soul, and that contains our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we have our bodies. And not necessarily talking just about the fleshly mobile home that we live in, but we're talking about the impulses and desires and things that go on there. But tonight, I want to really focus on verse 2. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world. And that's kind of interesting. And if you don't put that in perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense. How many know that this world is not in line with what God would have you to do? Right? This world system and this age and the age that's present. And the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. That is not in line with what God would have us to do. Right? And before we get born again, we're not capable of doing this, right? Because if we're not saved, we don't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, so we don't have the resource or the power in order to change. But those who are born again, which He said, brethren, in verse 1, He's speaking to people who've received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And therefore, their spirit man is a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's not the same as it was. It's brand new, right? And that's where the Spirit of God connects with you and talks with you. But watch this. It says, don't be conformed. And I like that word conformed because it means the best way I can say it is being pressure that's put upon you to form a certain image, right? And I worked years ago in when I was going to Bible school at this factory that had it was like a plastic forming machines, and they'd set up the different jigs that, you know, had whatever they were going to make, and it poured plastic into that, and then they pressed it in there so that it would be conformed to that image, and then whatever came out is what the mold spoke to it to be. And that's this. It's like the pressures of the world, the way the world thinks, the way the world acts, the way the world operates, it wants to conform you into that image, but he says, don't be conformed to that image, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. I love that. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And again, the transformation is the same word, or where we get the base word of metamorphosize. And the easiest thing to relate to that is we have the caterpillar going into the cocoon and then coming out a butterfly, because in that cocoon it was changed. It was something, but it was changed. And it's really interesting that that's the kind of the base word of this, that the renewing of your mind will change you from something that was into something that is now again. Come on. So in other words, there's a process that we can go through where God can change us from who we were to into who he wants us to be. Right? How many want to be more like him? Right? We're going to talk about that. But let me just, this word renew, let me just give you the definition that I've found out of the concordance. And it means a renewal or renovation. Complete change for the better. Let me read that one more time. It's a renewal or a renovation or a complete change for the better. A renovation. Have you ever gone through a remodel? Right? If you've ever in your life experienced building a house or a remodel, it's amazing, because you can go through certain renovations, but unless you strip it down to its core, it's just going to be the same thing, but it's, you know, let me just give you an example. Say you want to renovate your kitchen, and you think, well, I'm just going to put new countertops on. Well, that's renovating the countertops, but it's not really renovating the whole kitchen. And then you go, well, okay, I'll just put new faces on the cupboards, the drawers and the cupboards. And you go, well, that's good, and it looks different, and it looks better, but you know that cupboard that was still sticking before is now sticking again, right? And those shelves that weren't quite right there, they're still not. If you want to get a good renovation, you have to tear it down to its studs, right? Take everything out so that you can put something back in that is better than what you had before, right? And so God wants us to take out what was there before and put in a different foundation so that we can build on that to be something new, right? So the renewing of your mind is the process of that renovation, right? And the renewing of the mind, let me just give you a definition of what the mind is. And I'm going to give you first definition out of Greek and then the one out of Hebrew. But in the Greek, the mind is, watch this is really important, comprising alike the faculties of perceiving and understanding, and those of feeling, judging, and determining. Look, watch this. In light of what we're talking about, it's comprising alike the faculties of perceiving, of understanding, and of those of feeling, judging, and discerning. So in other words, God wants to renew our capacity for thinking. He wants to renew our capacity for judging, for feeling, for understanding, and for perceiving. Right? So the renewal of our mind is God getting into us to put a different foundation in so that we think differently. And that when we look at something, our thoughts are different. Let me just give you a couple of examples of that before we go on. It's like, have you ever met anybody that's a pessimist? Right? Just a pessimist. You know, Eeyore type. In fact, this one lady, I loved her dearly. She's gone home to be with the Lord. But you'd never go to her house, or you'd make the mistake, how are you doing? Because if you did that, there'd be a 15-minute about every ache, pain, what was wrong at work, what was wrong with her kids. I mean, it was terrible. Everything was filtered. Watch that. Everything was filtered through that foundation. So her perception, her mind, always took her back to that way of thinking. Now, an optimist, on the other hand, well, we've got a problem. We can fix it. We can change it. We can do something about it. A pessimist, well, that'll never work. That'll never work. Oh, come on. That can't ever work. Right? And so the deal is that God wants to renew our minds so that we perceive things differently, so that we can understand things differently, so we can line up with the way He thinks, so that we can do things differently. Right? So the renewing of the mind is a renovation of the way you think, the way that you perceive, the way that you understand. It's a renovation of the way that you feel. And we're going to see that more clearly as we go on. It's a renovation of your perception. Right? So I think that's awesome. In the Hebrew, and it's a little bit different because the Hebrew don't really have a word for mind. But in the Hebrew, it's a form or framework, purpose, imagination, a device that equals intellectual framework. Now that's very important. Very important. In other words, there's a framework or a basis that you think from. There's a basis that you think from. And often people are stuck in a rut because that framework that they are stuck in is based on maybe something that's not true. An example of that is your framework is you were told since you were 3 years old that you're no good and that you'll never amount to anything. That's your basis for framing all of your thoughts, right? Or that, you know, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're whatever, or that you'll never amount. Come on, all of those things are frameworks that you're based on. So God wants to change the framework so that you can see things differently, so that you can be differently, right? Let me just give you another example of that before we go into a few scriptures. But watch this. I had this quote the other day, and it wasn't even to do with the Bible or Christianity, but it was this quote. It was that where money is concerned, how people look at money, right? A poor man looks at money to spend money. Thinks about money, about spending money. I need to pay my bills. I need to do this. I need to do that. Somebody that's middle class or upper middle class thinks of money this way. I need to save money. That's their framework. That's where they think out of. But a rich man thinks of, I need to make money. The money is the same. But a poor man's framework is I need money to pay my bills. Somebody that has a little bit more income, their framework is I need to have money to save money for retirement and build up a nest egg, right, by saving. But a rich person is saying, listen, I don't, my money is going to work for me, and so I'm going to find out investments. I'm going to go into business. I'm going to do whatever because I want my money to work for me. Does that make sense? And I'm not speaking of money tonight, but I'm speaking of changing the framework if you want to go to a different level. Right? If you're poor and you want to become, you know, a little bit more with a different understanding of money, you've got to go, well, wait a minute. I might be poor, but maybe I can save a dime out of every dollar. And through that, you can go up to a different level. And then you, the other person goes, well, you know, wait a minute. I'm putting all my money into CD or to one of those other things, and it's getting a little bit of interest. But can I put it into something like an investment, buying homes or doing something else that's going to give me a way of making money off of my money, right? So it's a different perspective. All right, back to the Bible, because this is really important to get a hold of this, because this is what God wants to do. In this verse, he says, I don't want you to be conformed to this world, but I want you to be transformed, changed from the way you are now, your basis of thinking, to thinking like I think. Right? I want to change that. I want to make that different. And so I'm going to get, if you'll get into my word, by the renewing of your mind, get into my word, I can absolutely change you. Now, here again, this is, I believe that our spirit man is 100% complete. The Bible says that we're a new man in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. But our soul or our mind hasn't really connected fully with our spirit. And God wants to use His Spirit to reveal His Word to us so that we can begin to think and act in the reality of who we really are. Right? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He has made me holy. Jesus has made me holy. I'm associated with that holiness. But if I don't change and renovate the basis of who I think I am, I'll never walk in the light of that. But when I begin to say, wait a minute, I'm not looking to get holy. I am holy. I might not be holy in my flesh, and my mind might not think holy thoughts, but I need to renovate my heart or my thinking to the thinking that God's thoughts are. Because if I do that, then I'll come up to a higher level. Right? I don't have to try to be holy if I am holy. Right? I don't have to walk around like, I wonder if I'm holy or not. I wonder if God loves me or not. I wonder if, how could God love me the way that I think that I am? Or that foundational thinking that I've always had, how could God love me if I know that I'm a worm, that I'm no good, and that I'll never amount to anything? How could God love me? But if I can change my mind or my thinking or my foundation for thought that I am accepted in the beloved, right? Then I can perceive my whole life differently because I know that I'm loved by God. I know that I'll never outgrow, I'll never go so far as that He won't love me because He loves me, right? But here's the problem is that we can mentally ascend to that and go, bless God, that's right, I'm accepted in the beloved, but we still haven't, we put a new face on the drawers. We put a new countertop on, but we haven't changed the base and we haven't stripped that all away. And the way that you do that is by the renewal of the mind, and that takes time and His presence and with His help to get there. Let's look at another scripture and I'll speak more of that. Look at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Glory to God, glory to God. God wants to change your base of thinking. your perception of thinking. He wants to take you out of the world's way of thinking, which you have completely immersed in the world system. And he wants to take you out of that and put you into his way of thinking. How can you believe some of the things Jesus said that you could do unless you change the basis of thinking about who you are? He says things like you can speak to the mountain and the mountain would be moved. I can't do that. How can I possibly do that? Jesus, you must have been talking to the apostles or somebody else, but I couldn't do that. No, not in your current state. But if you'll renew your mind to who God says you are and what He's made you to be, then you see yourself differently, that when you speak up, you're speaking not only in the name of Jesus, but in your joint heirship with Jesus. Right? See, when the devil sees me, he sees Jesus. When I speak the name of Jesus, the devil says, man, I've got to obey this. Right? But it's getting our minds renewed. Ephesians chapter 4. This is so exciting to me. And verse 23. This says, and be renewed, be renovated, be changed in the spirit of your mind. Be renovated. Verse 23 of Ephesians 4. Mary had this look on like I was talking out of a well. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new man, which was created according to true right. Excuse me, let me read that again. And you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, you can't put on the new man until you've been renovated in your mind. Even though that new man is there, it's in you, it's living in you, but you've got to become a different person, a different perception, a different thing. I am no longer Bruce, the son of Jack. I'm Bruce, the son of God. Right? The Spirit of God lives in me. The Bible says that He's called me His son, that I can even cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy, Daddy. Right? But I have to see myself as a son and no longer as a slave. Why do I say that? Because until you can perceive and have that as your basis of thought, that you belong not only to God, but with God, then your prayers won't be as effective as they could be. In other words, and this, you know, in our rationality, we can say, oh yeah, that makes sense, but in our core of who we are, do we really believe it? Watch this. He says this. He said that you can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. You can. Who can? I can. Yeah, listen, it's like this. Many of us, and I'm not against coming to a pastor or somebody else for prayer. I'm all for that. But the reality is, I don't need to go to the pastor to get in God's presence. Right? I don't have to go to somebody holier than I am in order for God to listen to me, because God has made me holy. Right? And so if I understand who I am and who God has made me to be, then the basis of my thinking will be different. It'll be different. I said, it'll be different. It'll be different. One more. Let's go to, I don't know if they got this, but Titus, the the book of Titus, the third chapter, now watch this, this is awesome, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, as through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I am not right with God or in God's good graces because of what I've done. It's all been a work of the Holy Spirit. So my regeneration, my rebirth, my getting a different relationship with God is based on what the Holy Spirit has done. But watch this. The Holy Spirit also wants to be involved in the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you will guide you into all truth. Right? In other words, when Jesus made some statements. He said, seek me and you'll find me. An unrenewed mind would go, well, I hope so. An unrenewed mind would say, well, maybe if I fast enough, maybe if I do something enough. But the Spirit of God would tell you, it's not about what you've done, it's about what Jesus has done. Are you listening to me? It's about what Jesus has done. So a renewed mind would say, I have access to the throne of God, and the Spirit of God will speak to me, will feed me, will show me. Right? I mean, Marty and I were talking earlier today about her talking to a man who's dying, and it's like, wait a minute, you mean I can talk to Him and the Holy Spirit will use me? Yes. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And Jesus said to His disciples, He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high to be witnesses of me, both here in Jerusalem and then in Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Utah is the uttermost parts of the world. Right? And so the Holy Spirit over the phone can use you here to speak there. And Jesus said to this, He said, look, you're going to be before magistrates and about kings and about all that. But don't worry about what you're going to say, because in that self same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the thoughts. So how could you go into a conversation with somebody that the Lord's put on your heart without any stress? It's because your thinking, your basis of thinking has changed to the fact that, listen, I'm just going to open my mouth. He'll fill it. But I'm confident of that because I've renewed my mind. I've renovated the way I think. I've renovated the very core of my thinking. So that I know that I know that I know. See, so the renewing of the mind is so important. That's where reading the Word of God and giving the Holy Spirit some ammunition to use is incredible. I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating here, that when I first got saved, I'd only been saved a couple of months. And the person that was leading the Bible studies that I was going to said, well, next Wednesday you're teaching. And I went, huh? I mean, literally, I couldn't tell you where the books of the Bible were. If he said to open to Romans, I would have to go to the index to find Romans and then come back and, okay, now I know where it is. Everybody be three chapters ahead of me, but I'd find it eventually, right? That's where I was. But you see, I'd read in the Bible, I've been reading through the Gospel of John, I've been reading the Bible, and I saw the Scripture that said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self-same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. The Holy Spirit helped me renew my mind to the fact that it's not about me, but it's about Him in me, working as a team. So I just said, listen, I'm going to do it. if God wants me to do it, I'll do whatever He wants me to do. So I literally went to the Bible study, sat in my car before it was time to go in. I'd pray in the Holy Ghost, right? Pray in tongues for a while. And then I went into the Bible study, and I just went like this. I'd never studied it, I never read it. The first time I did it was like Romans chapter 5. Okay, let's start reading. I don't recommend that. That's not the way I do things now. But the Holy Spirit, watch this, used me in a powerful way that way. Right? Let me just give you another example of that. See, you have to change the basis of your thinking that it's not about me. It's not about my ability. It's about my availability. And if I'll make myself available, God will use me any way He wants to, right? Fast forward, I've been to Bible school, been teaching or pastoring a little church in Belfair. Been doing that for a while. And, you know, I started to go into church one day, and I get up early, I still do, and, you know, set up chairs, do all the things that were necessary at the time. And I was on my way, driving on the south shore of Hood Canal, because we lived out that way, driving in, and I went, this thought came to me. I'm getting pretty good at this. I did. I'm not saying I heard a voice, but inside of my gut, right, inside of here, I just felt, ooh. Like the Holy Spirit was saying, oh, really? Oh, really? And I just repented, right? Oh, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. You see, I couldn't let that old thinking of me being the one who produced anything come back into me. I had to be retrained by the Holy Spirit to say, oh no, it's all about me. And so we started the worship service, and I had my notes down. I had, you know, really nice notes all put out. And He said to me, put those away and open to. And so I had to preach from scriptures that I hadn't studied or known. But He took me back to the dependency upon Him. So renewing your mind comes from the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to renew that to the way He thinks and who He's made you to be so that you can do what He wants you to do. Glory to God. Glory to God. So how many, your default setting goes, I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. You don't understand. I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I don't have that. If that's your default setting, that's your basis, your foundation of thinking. What you have to do is remind yourself that the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have to renew your mind to the fact that all things are possible to those who believe. You have to come back to the fact that Jesus is the source of everything you have need of, right? My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So the bottom line is, it's not about you, and you have to get your thinking when you get to the place where it's not all about you, that you can think it's all about Him, but He's with me and He'll use me and He'll change me. But I need the Word of God to be put into me so that my mind can be changed. This won't happen just because you change the cover. It won't because you put a new top on it. It has to be where, God, I need you to renew my mind to what the Word says. Right? Let me just... You have to think differently. You have to think like you're saved. Let me say that again. You have to have a perception like I'm okay with God. You have to have the perception that I'm right with God. You have to have the perception that God's not mad at me. That has to be the basis of all of your thoughts. If it's not, then you need to tear that down and renovate. Right? Okay, go to Isaiah 26. I hope you all are getting something tonight. See, but it's, I've said this before and I believe it to be true. Jesus could show up tonight and preach a message to you. And it would do you absolutely no good unless you acted on what he said. I'm not comparing myself with Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it takes action on your part to put into practice what he's saying. Because if you don't do that, you won't change your basis of thinking, and you'll be the same next year as you were. If you think that you're destined to be broke, then you can't prosper. But when you begin to understand that God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing, then you look for opportunities for him to bless you. And then you pass it on. He's done that so wonderfully with me, but I think that I've not reached my capacity yet. Well, how do I go to the next level? I get renovated. That's how you get it. You get renovated. Isaiah 26. We're going to read verse 3, but I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. In that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. I can't go here very long, but watch this. God, watch this, will appoint salvation. Has God appointed salvation? Has God appointed salvation? Yes, through Jesus Christ. My salvation is through the Messiah. The Messiah has come and I'm now in him. That's not going to happen. That's already happened, right? I need to renew my mind that I'm saved. But that salvation means a lot, right? But watch here. It says that for walls and bulwarks, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. That's me. I mean, it's like this. It's like, God, everything you have for me in that city that you prepared for me, I'm kicking those gates open because I'm coming in because Jesus paid the price for me to get in. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. Verse 3 says this. You, speaking of God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Our basis of thinking and our thoughts have to be filtered through the fact that God is with us, that God is for us. If we do that, watch this, peace will be the result. I like this, but he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The word mind is, you could use the word imagination or perception. In other words, can you imagine that God is with you? Maybe you're hit with something financially, something physically, something emotionally, and if your perception is that God is with you and you can picture that and that's the basis of who you are, then you're going to go, so? So? The Bible says, and the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Right? I'm redeemed. You have to get that perception on the inside of you. You have to let that come up and be the source that you filter all your thoughts through. I'm not trying to get redeemed. I'm already redeemed. He's bought me back. I'm already with him. But if you're not there, you have to continue to tear that thoughts out that, well, you know, if I was only as holy as this person, if I was only as holy as that person, look at, I don't care if you know, the most holy person on the earth, If you're comparing the holiness that you want to them, you're in trouble. And the reason for that is that their righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. It's His righteousness that we need. Come on. It's His righteousness that we need to stand in. And the only way that we can do that, and we did, is through the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Ooh, glory to God. So you have to imagine, right? That has to be the framework of everything that you have. So watch this. And this is natural to a world's point of view and our thinking, right? We're saved, right? And we find out, the doctor comes in and says, well, sorry, bud, but you got 2 weeks to live. Oh, God. Not if your mind is renewed to the fact that, wait a minute, this isn't all there is. This is just going to be for a little while. I mean, I'm just living here for a little while. So I can get through anything if I know the results at the end are going to be heaven. Right? Come on, yeah. Well, get this. Get this one. Man, I'm married to this bum. And Jesus said, you know, for better, for worse, for a lifetime. How am I going to? Listen, it's only going to be for a little while. One day, right? All I'm saying is our perspective, if we understand that we're with God, we're going to be with God, is the basis where all our thoughts are filtered through, then peace will be the result. Paul did it this way. He said, listen, these light afflictions that I've going through now, I don't know any of you if you've been whipped. If you've been in the sea day and night, if you've been starved out, if you've been, come on, rejected, if you've had to be lowered in a basket out of a city because they needed you out. He said these light afflictions that we've had is nothing in comparison of the internal weight of glory that is ahead of us. See, his perception of thought was based on what God did and what God said rather than the circumstances that he was in. If you want to be in peace, you have to put God as the foundation and you have to imagine yourself there. See, there's certain promises in the Word of God. If you don't change your basis thought, then you'll not operate in faith that he has for you. Let me just give you for instance. He said, by his stripes you were healed. Bible says he sent his word and healed you. Well, you've got to imagine yourself healed. See, you've got to come to the reality that Jesus is my healer. But as long as your imagination or your basis of thinking is, well, the doctor said, or that it's flu season, I always get the flu, it's this or it's that, and you know, my heredity says that I'm going to have diabetes, or my heredity says this, or my, listen, I understand that, and those are all factual things in the natural of this world, but when you transform your thinking into what God says, listen, I'm going to walk around as the healed, thank you very much. I'm going to walk around as the one that Jesus Christ paid the price for my healing. Right? And so, your thought, listen, most of us speak the first thing that we think. Right? And that's based on the perception of our base of where our thinking comes from. Right? And so you got to watch what you're saying, because what you're saying is keyed to what you really believe. Well, and that's what needs to be renewed, so that you're saying what comes out of your mouth is not what you were, but it's who you are. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like if you thought, well, you know, I'm the one who always gets picked last. I'm the one who nobody else wants, but, you know, I'm the guy at the end of the bench. Or if, you know, everybody else gets to be blessed, but I don't get to be blessed. I'm leftovers. I'm all of that. That's your way of thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's your reality. That's what you're going to have. But when you start changing your thinking, and what does God say? God says, I'm the apple of his eye. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God said, come on, I can speak to mountains. God said, and you start renewing your mind to that, and it takes time to get there, but pretty soon you go, wait a minute, that's not me, this is me. And that's where God wants to get us. He wants us to have a renewed mind to who he says that we are. Let me tell you a story, and then I've got about three more scriptures. The next time I preach, I will continue this, because this is just too good, and I don't want to stop it. Some of you might know the name, and others won't, but R.W. Shambaugh, he was a great preacher, and he's gone home to be with the Lord. But this was years ago. He was preaching meetings. This was like in the 50s and 60s. He was down, I think he was in Texas somewhere, where segregation was still a big thing. And he'd have citywide tent meetings, and he'd invite whoever wanted to come. And that didn't happen back then down there, where anybody could come and they could sit wherever they wanted to, first come, first serve. Because they came up to him at first, well, you can have, you know, the colored come, but they have to sit on this side. He said, no, that's not happening. That's not happening. And so he started having the meetings, and God started moving and doing all kinds of things. And how many know that this pigment of skin is nothing, right? I mean, it's just nothing. But watch this. Watch this. And biologically, it's just so silly. But I understand the pain, everything that goes along with that. But the Ku Klux Klan came and knocked on his door. It was his hotel room. He said, listen, if you don't put that rope up, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. Now, these are the same men that lynched people, right? So this wasn't an idle threat to them, right? But his mind had been renewed to the scripture that said, I am crucified with Christ, no longer that I live, but Christ lives in me. And now the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. He started laughing. Just started laughing. Well, that's insane. You're gonna kill me and I'm laughing at you? And he said, listen. He said, you can't kill a dead man. You can't kill a dead man. You might be able to terminate the life that's in this body, and this body might go back to the dust, but I'm going to live on, and I'm going to do what God called me, because his perspective wasn't of the world's system of you die and that's it. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we have to renew our minds to who he's made us to be, so that we can face life not from a temporary position, but from an eternal perspective. You and I are going to be together a million years from now. A million years from now, we'll be all rejoicing in heaven with God. So as my dad used to say, don't sweat the small stuff, but put your mind on him. And peace will be the result. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you tonight. Lord, it seems like I just got to the introduction, but I thank you, Lord, for using your word to change us. I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that I am beloved. I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I thank you that your word declares that my sin has been forgiven. I thank you, Lord, that he who knew no sin became sin, that I might be called and become, actually be changed into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, and I'm putting on the new man by renewing my mind to what you said and who you said that I am. And Lord, I just want to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And listen, I want you to know, and I want those watching online, I'm not minimizing the pain or what you're going through. But what I'm trying to do is to give you a different perspective so that you don't have to be the same next year as you are this year. You're coming up higher, but the way that you get up higher is to agree with what God has said and put that in your heart and then let that come out of your mouth, and your life will change in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks you for joining us. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, just make him the Lord of your life. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need help. And I believe that you died for my sins. Come into my heart. I thank you, Lord, that you are my Savior in Jesus' name. Things will be changed. God bless you. Amen.